Welcome to the podcast. I am photographer Sid Caesar.
And I'm designer Dave Say.
And welcome on this lovely Wednesday.
Is it Wednesday?
Is it today's the last Already? Day of January, right?
Oh, my God.
January 31st?
Yeah, January that's 30th? Right. Yeah. January 31st. Only a couple days, so Groundhog Day.
That's right. And your Groundhog Day resolutions.
Yep, which I haven't started yet.
You start in February, right? Like 4-4, 5-5, 6-6.
Yep. So the first day of my New Year, my New Year's resolutions, I start them on February 2nd because January 1st, I'm in no shape to make any promises to anybody, right?
No.
And so then I make the promises on Groundhog Day, which is also an homage to the Bill Murray movie, which I really love.
Mm-hmm.
And then I do a review on March 3rd, April 4th, May 5th, so I can remember what day I'm supposed to do them on. But enough about me, because like I'm boring.
We have a guest today, right? Yes. So we're doing, this is our fourth of the year so far, which is three times as many more than the last one. I'm boarding here. So we have a guest, photographer Jane Button, who I have known for, she thinks I've only known her since like 2010. For some reason, I'm convinced that I've known her since like 1999, 2000, when I started going to the New Hampshire Institute of Art. Is with us today. She came by the studio, and we're doing this on a little remote setup that Dave has.
The remote which, podcast. So
which is actually
test.
Pretty good. This sounds really good. Like, this is pretty awesome.
I should hope so.
Yeah. It cost enough. So Jane came in, and we were just kind of catching up and everything, and I figured for this section we'll do a little 30-minute interview with her, because we wanted to try to do more interviews.
Yep.
And so we've got Jane Button, and
hey.
She... Hi.
Hi.
Welcome.
Thank you.
So now you were telling me before, you originally went to the New Hampshire Institute of Art for interior design.
I did. That's how I found NHIA. My dad was a finished carpenter builder, so it was always kind of something in my blood, and I decided that instead of doing administrative work, I wanted to do something a little more creative. So I found kitchen and bath design and took some classes, and then I got a job, and I did that for about 10 years.
Wow. That's great. Now, have you always... So give me a little bit about your background. Are you a native of New Hampshire?
My background, sure. So I grew up in this little town 20 minutes east of Manchester called Raymond.
Yep.
I'm probably a sixth or seventh generation... Raymondite. Yeah, whatever you call people from Raymond. My mom grew up there. Her father grew up there. His father was the town doctor.
Really?
Yeah, so kind of a neat
Are you guys in were you in legacy. The same house growing up or
No, my mom lived in a house downtown.
Okay.
And then when she was 8 or 9, they moved to where she lives now. She lives in the house across the street from where she grew up.
Really?
So she and my dad bought land across the street from her childhood home, built a house.
Okay.
So, yeah. So we've kind of always been in the same place for 40, 50-something years. So.
And how long did you live in Raymond?
So I grew up there, but my parents decided when high school rolled around that they wanted to... get me a little better education, so they sent me off to Trinity, little college prep, but it was a great opportunity, and it was great, you know, I got to meet so many nice people, and just kind of broadened my horizons a little bit from my little small town experience, so
mm-hmm.
that was great, and then I stayed here for college, went to UNH, studied theater, I wanted to be an actor.
Cool.
And
yeah.
Yeah, so outside of living in New York City in Manhattan for about 9 months, I've pretty much always been in New Hampshire.
What was that like?
It was pretty cool, and I think I was... I went to acting school in the afternoons, and I worked for Soap Opera Weekly Digest in the morning.
What?
As an intern, and I even got to write some articles, which were published.
What?
So I'm like a published writer.
Nice.
And I get to go to the Daytime Emmy Awards.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Did you dress up and everything?
Susan Lucci. I did. I had this
Susan Lucci.
This beautiful red gown. She did not win that year. Like, she had this, like, she'd been nominated, I don't know, 29,000 times. And then she only won, like, once. But anyway, it wasn't the year she won. But, it was kind of cool to rub elbows with some people.
Wow.
Soap opera stars and Regis and Kathy Lee. And, yeah.
Oh, my God.
So anyway,
that's awesome.
Is Regis and Kathy Lee, are they super short?
Regis is kind of short. Yeah, Kathy is. She's pretty petite. Yeah. But you know, back then that was like their.
That's amazing. I never knew that about her. That's awesome.
Yeah. So, but wow. I don't think I took advantage of everything I could have in the city, like I would now. You know, looking back, 20 something years later, I would have gone to all these museums. I would have done all this cultural stuff, and plus I was broke, so I didn't have any money to go to shows and do stuff, but. It was a great experience.
Yeah. So, like, how many auditions did you do roughly while you were out there?
I didn't audition for anything. I went to one, and I think the line just to get in the place to audition was like around this whole block. It was crazy.
Not competitive or anything.
And no, there's not. There's, you know, very few actors in New York, really. Yeah, I think it was good because it kind of opened my eyes and it was like, I'm a very small fish now in a very big pond and I don't know if I have the stomach for this.
Yeah?
You know, it's yeah. So, you know, left, came back to New Hampshire, got married, did the right thing or the thing you're supposed to do.
That's awesome. One of my favorite movies is Tootsie. Yeah. And the whole beginning is just a bunch of New York actors all like standing around like just pontificating on being New York actors and everything. It's so fantastic.
Yeah.
So that's awesome.
Yeah.
That is crazy. I didn't know that. That's awesome.
Yeah. So it was pretty cool.
So you came back and got more into community theater?
Yeah. So I just, you know, continued to do community theater off and on. And that's how I met my husband now is through community theater. And so I found it was a much better hobby than it was a vocation. So, you know, I think if I had depended on it for my living, my, you know, to earn money, and it's just such a rat race. It's so tough.
Right.
And like any art is, I mean, but
that's true.
Yeah.
And you still do theater now because you're
so in... yeah, I've still continued to do theater. I haven't done some for a couple of years now because I've really focused on my business, but, one thing I have been doing is doing photography for theatrical productions.
Yeah.
I did some for Macbeth, which will be going up at the Hatbox opening February 2nd, Groundhog's Day.
Hooray.
And I did some for them as well for A Christmas Carol, and then a few other productions. So that's really combining like my two passions, which is photography and theater, and being able to photograph it, which is how I met Gary Sampson. I'm going to go off on a little tangent here, which Gary was your instructor, my instructor at NHIA, and he photographed me in one of the productions that I was in at UNH because he started at UNH in the media department.
Yeah,
and he photographed one of our shows for publicity or posterity, whatever you want to call it. And when I got to NHIA, I remembered him. Like I was like, you took my picture umpteen years ago. He didn't remember. I mean, he took everybody's picture back then, but it was just a cool, you know, tie to him and his previous life at UNH. And then we met up again at NHIA and it was just, anyway, so everything comes full circle.
Yeah, so you went for interior design.
So yeah, so I took classes for interior design at NHIA, and then I got a job as a kitchen designer, so I stopped taking classes. But I was always doing photography, and then I said, oh, well, they also have photography classes, so maybe I should go back and take some photography classes.
What were you shooting, or what were you doing at that point when you were like, maybe I should go back to school for photography?
It really was a hobby.
Yep.
And when I went back, it had to have been 2005, 2006, because that's when I got my first digital SLR. I had a Pentax K1000,
yes.
And then I had upgraded to a different Pentax that had like autofocus and everything. So I then traded that in for a Pentax digital camera because I was able to use the lenses I already had, and I just had to buy the body. So I did that. And so that was like 2005, I think. And so for me, so my struggle with photography up until that point was always I could see what I wanted to take for a picture, but I could never make it work, you know, with the ISO and the exposure and the everything. Like I just, and especially where you take a roll of film, whether it's 12, 24, or 36, and you send it out and then you get it back, I don't know what I did wrong.
Right, right.
You know, right. Like, why was this picture underexposed? I don't know. I could never get that connection.
Yep.
So then, obviously, digital comes out, and you take a picture, and you see the back of your camera, and you go, oh.
There's your Polaroid right
there. Okay, there's my Polaroid, and I know I'm underexposed, or I'm overexposed, or I'm, you know, my camera's shaking, I need a higher shutter speed, whatever.
Yep.
And so then it was like, ah, okay, I can wrap my head around this now. And so then it just really, I just wanted to know more. Yep. Now I was like, okay, now I can get, I want to move forward because I can understand all this.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah. So then it just was a hobby. And then I just started taking pictures of friends and family. And somebody asked me to do a wedding. And then it just, you know, it just kind of, the ball just kept rolling. And
Why is your work centered on people as opposed to, you know, like landscapes or stuff? Or
well,
product?
Obviously, you know, fine art's a hard sell. So landscapes and still lifes don't, you know, that's a hard market. Mm-hmm. And I've always, I think growing up, my grandparents always had like National Geographic or Life magazine on their coffee table. So I would just look through it and look at it and I loved looking at all of it. Like, I loved looking at movie stars. I loved looking at images in National Geographic of faraway countries and beautiful landscapes. So I really love all of it. Mm-hmm. But I think from a business perspective, shooting portraits was where you could make more money.
Right.
And it was a more realistic, tangible job, mm-hmm. I guess. So I still shoot, you know, I just got my first approved image on Shutterstock, so I'm now a stock photographer, which I'm super excited about. Thank you. So I still, you know, I still shoot stuff for myself, and this year I'm hoping to do more of it, and now that my business is really kind of up and running, I can step back and do more stuff for myself. But, but faces just always fascinated me, I guess.
Good. So you have a photography studio right in Manchester,
mm-hmm.
and it's almost across the street from the Palace Theater. So
it's
like right in the theater
smack
district.
Smack dab across the street from the Palace Theater.
When did you associate working with theater people, which you sort of come from,
right?
Like putting a focus on that.
Yeah. So that just kind of happened organically. I had done a show a couple of years ago with a local playwright. He wrote a show, and it was called The Candid Candidate.
Mm-hmm.
It was all kind of centered around, and it was going on right when the primaries and election time, you know, and of course, New Hampshire is like a hotbed for all that in right before the elections and everything, and certainly the primary we get a lot of attention. So he had written this kind of spoof on the whole process, and I was in that show. And then he staged it at a different theater, at the Hatbox up in Concord, but mm-hmm. I wasn't able to participate as an actor, but he wanted publicity photos.
Mm-hmm.
So he knew, obviously, I did photography, and he said, hey, really love to have you come do some photos of the show so I can use them for publicity. I said, absolutely, you know? And that, I think, was the first show that I photographed. And then I've done a few more for him, and then the other two, like I said, Christmas Carol and mm-hmm. Macbeth was the most recent one. The Macbeth shoot was funny because I got there and there's three witches in Macbeth. One of them is being played by a good friend of mine. And I was introduced to the other two women playing the witches. And one of them's an older woman. And I looked at her. I said, you look really familiar. I said, what's your last name? Because she had, you know, introduced herself with her first name. And she told me. I said, I went to UNH with your daughter.
Huh.
And so we were in the acting program together at UNH. And she's like, oh, my God. So, you know, just small world.
Mm-hmm.
New Hampshire, just smaller all the time.
Everybody's connected.
Right. So that's kind of how I fell into that. And then I've really made a good connection with the man that kind of coordinates and runs the Hatbox Theater in Concord. Mm-hmm. And his name is Andrew Pernard. Wonderful, brilliant guy. He has such a creative vision for that space and what he wants to do with it. So I've been very blessed that he likes my work, and he's asked me to come back and keep shooting for him and other, you know, companies that are doing shows there.
That's good.
Yeah, it's awesome.
That's good. So you focus primarily on like portraits, family portraits? headshots?
Yeah. So, you know, 10 years ago, I was like, I'll shoot anything because yeah. I'm like, I just want to use my camera and I just want to get paid for it. And, you know, that's just what I wanted to do. So I did everything. I did product. I used to shoot bikes for a bike manufacturer when I was in Newmarket. They were right across the street in the mills. And so they'd wheel their, you know, they made road bikes cross.
Like pedal bikes?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So like not mountain bikes, but they have, there's this hybrid between road biking and mountain biking, and I'm totally blanking on the name. Anyway, so they make all these, different like racing road bikes and stuff. So they needed a studio to shoot images of their bikes, and so I did that for a while.
Nice.
But then, so I shared a space in Newmarket for a couple of years with another photographer, and she did mostly weddings and portraits and babies, and so I was doing a lot of that too. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I had a little life change, so I was on my own for a while, didn't have a studio space, was just shooting on location. So I was doing mainly weddings, high school seniors, families, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So then I got my space, my current space, just over 2 years ago. So now that I'm back in the studio, I said, you know what? I really want to narrow my focus down. So I do a lot of headshots for mm-hmm. business owners, actors, which is great because I can understand that, mm-hmm. That segment. Just general portraits, families. I really like doing high school seniors still, but I've kind of dropped weddings. Yep. Not doing products. I tell people I don't do babies unless they can sit up and smile. You know?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to wrap them in tulle and put them on this blanket. And it's just...
Make them look like pumpkins and
pea pods.
It's not my thing.
I am not Ann Getty's. I don't have children. I'm afraid I'm going to break them. And, mm-hmm. it's a lot of patience. And
so squishy looking.
Yeah, but it's the safety thing, too. Like... I'm taking somebody's week-old newborn and trying to make them look all cozy, and it's just not my thing.
Bring them back when they're ready for college.
Exactly. Bring them back when they're a high school senior. I'll shoot them then, you know, or at least when they're 6 months old and they're sitting up and they're happy and they're interacting. And
Not spitting up and
everywhere. I'm all set with that.
No.
So, that's my thing, I guess.
That's good.
Yeah.
How are we on time?
We're at the 17-minute mark.
All right, we still got a ways to go.
So you want me to talk some more, huh?
Yes. So what has been... Well, let's see. So you're a graduate from the Institute, as I am. So let's talk a little bit to the students out there that might be listening. What has been the most difficult thing so far that you've experienced as far as sort of hanging your shingle out as...
Running a business. Absolutely. Because you go to art school, you don't learn how to run a business. Do you? Did you?
No.
Right?
I'm still trying to figure it out.
Exactly. I mean, you know, they're smartening up now, and they're offering business classes at art schools because you let an artist out into the world, and they don't have a clue. How do I start a business? How do I pay? So running a business has totally been the biggest obstacle or struggle, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. it continues to be. It's a struggle every day. But I'm navigating it pretty well, and it's just on-the-job training.
Yeah.
You know, you just make a mistake one shoot, and you just figure it out, and you learn how to do it differently the next time and improve. Mm-hmm. So.
Good. Do you do a lot of networking and stuff? Are you members of...
Yeah, I...
Clubs.
It's funny. So Sid, I'm going to tell your listeners. So Sid and I are both only children. And so we have a lot of these little commonalities. And I think one of mine is, and I don't want to speak for Sid, but I'm pretty introverted. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm good one-on-one, but you know, you send me to a party or a big networking event and I'm scared. You know, I'm like, oh.
Who are these people?
They don't want to talk to me.
Right. And they seem like they have their own thing going on. They're cooler than me.
Right? And I'm not interesting. Why would they want to talk to me? So it's been a struggle to get out and start networking. So I did. I joined a networking group I've been with for about a year, and it's been good because at least once a week I'm stepping out of my studio, I'm meeting with other adults, other business owners, and so I'm learning from them too. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, what are the struggles in your business and how have you handled it? So it's not always about them getting me a referral or them getting me a job, but it's also, you know, just kind of commiserating with other business owners and learning from them. So that's been good. And then I did join the chamber, which is also right across the street from my studio.
Location.
Yeah, so that worked out well. And they just commissioned me to do 6 portraits of local chamber members and business owners. We haven't talked about this.
No.
So I photographed 6 different executives, a guy at Oracle, Dine, Boys and Girls Club of Manchester, PillPack. I'm going to leave somebody out. McLean Middleton Law Firm.
Mm-hmm.
The owner of the Copper Door and Cactus Jacks. And one more. Oh, my gosh. I'm going to draw a blank. Oh, and the president of SNHU.
Oh, all right. Steve LeBlanc.
Patty. Dr. Patty. Anyway, so they were doing these marketing pieces, and they just wanted like an environmental portrait of these people in their environments, in their workplace, and they I had just struck up enough of a relationship with them, and they knew I was across the street, and I was a photographer, and they said, hey, we'd like to hire you to do this, and so we did them all in December. It was crazy. Like, we did them within a 2-week time frame, and I was super nervous, and I'm like, I don't want to F this up. I just don't. I want to do good. And they turned out pretty good. I was pretty happy with them, and they were thrilled with them, which is all that matters.
Awesome.
They liked them, and they got their marketing pieces.
Is awesome.
So, yeah. So
is there a place that we can link them so that we can see them online?
That was huge. So, when I release my updated website, the images will be
on there.
The chamber will be kind of slowly. They released one of them on their Facebook page this week.
Yeah.
So you could link to that, and then they'll be showing more over the next coming months, so that they can kind of.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So that was kind of a big feather in my cap, and that was. Yeah, like, okay.
Was it just you? Did you have somebody helping you out?
I had nobody.
Or it was just you?
And that's how I roll, which is pretty scary because I'm such a do-it-myself. Like, when I was 3 years old, and my parents will back me up, like, my phrase was, I'll do it myself.
Wow.
I'll do it myself.
Good.
I just was like, okay. So, I don't know. I know I can rely on myself, and I know what I know.
Mm-hmm.
And I just have a hard time letting it go and teaching somebody else.
Yeah.
That's an only kid thing.
Or trusting somebody else. It's got to be
an
only child
thing.
Yeah. It's a control thing, too.
Totally.
I got to work on it. But so, yeah. So the 2 girls from the chamber went to these shoots with me. And they'd help me carry some gear. And I tried to keep it pretty simple. You know, one softbox, one light. Just simple. Stupid simple.
Yep.
So that worked out pretty well. But
badass.
Yeah, it was fun. I get to go up on a lift for the Boys and Girls Club because we shot the CEO in the gym, and we wanted to show her against the against center court where they had the Boys and Girls Club logo.
Yeah.
So their facilities manager got a lift out.
Oh, sweet.
And I got to go up 10 or 12 feet and shoot down, and
it
came. That I think that was one of my favorite ones. That was the first one we did.
That's good. That's a good project for the chamber to.
So I was thrilled. I'm still like, I can't believe, I got to work on that.
Do you know if there's a lot of other members of the chamber that are photographers in the city as well?
Like, yeah, there's not a huge amount, but I mean, they have other people that they draw from. And I know when they do their chamber magazine every year, there's one photographer that kind of, he does the cover, and I noticed he's done a lot of the inside shots of the different featured articles and stuff. So, they certainly have other people that they draw from, but I was just super thrilled that they asked me to work on that with them.
Yeah, that's excellent.
Put my name on that, and it felt good.
Yeah.
So, it's pretty awesome.
Awesome.
I've got a question for you.
Oh, boy. All right.
So, one of the things you're talking about, for the students, was they don't teach you what business is in art school.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so I was curious, like, you sort of talked around what business was. To you, if you were to come up with like a list of five things that you think comprise a business that you had to learn, that would be interesting. So, Sid, what's an aspect of business, think, like a specific skill or a task that you didn't
knowing,
know existed?
Like, not only, I would say, like, not only you'd have to just to simply know how to sell the stuff that you do. And to find the right kind of audience to sell that work to. And then, you know, just for anybody that wants to make any kind of income from your work, just knowing what the right protocols are to do and, you know, make sure you have all your paperwork and save all your receipts and just all the little behind the scenes stuff.
So accounting, approaching, being able to explain what
it is, like it's one thing,
a package that, you know, other people can understand.
For a lot of people, it's instinctive to make. But then when they have it, and then and some people, that's, you know, they're cool with just making something and keeping it. Like, that's their process. Like, they're getting it out of themselves.
Yeah,
they're expressing themselves creatively. And then there's the extra step. I mean, like, when I went to school, like, there's a lot of younger kids that are specifically coming into an art school so that when they graduate, they can make a living doing something creatively.
Right.
And they just to be able to hit the ground running, you know, just with basic, it doesn't have to be, you know, in depth, but just kind of basic concepts, you know, like in this day and age, to not have a website, you know, like with examples of your work, like that's your business card nowadays, you know,
right.
Like, and the whole world can see that. And, you know, like there are students when I've gone and say, okay, raise your hand for everybody that has a website, and like half the class raises their hand, and it's like, just only half.
That's surprising.
Like, take 2 days, and even if it's just a basic, like, free Wix or whatever, just something
to get
it out there until you can get to that next step where you can, you know, make a nicer portfolio site.
Right.
But just ways to get your name out there, and yeah.
Yeah. How about you, Jane?
Yeah, so all of that. But then, you know, going a little further with your website, you know, the whole SEO, am I getting noticed? Am I at the top of Google search? Marketing, right. You know, finding other ways to market yourself, whether it's going out and networking in person or using Facebook ads. Like, I've had terrible luck with Facebook ads. I've pretty much said, not doing it, you know.
What were you expecting? What were you hoping would happen from the Facebook ads?
It's just lead generation. Or? Yeah, people going, oh, my God, this girl's a photographer and she's amazing. I have to go to her, you know. But it's such a saturated market. Everybody thinks they're a photographer and everybody has a camera. Being a long-term sustainable doing this for a living, that's always tough.
All right, music just started, so we got like 2 minutes.
About 2 minutes.
All right, so I guess we're gonna have to wrap up. So
I just wanted to add one thing.
Yeah,
like, you were all talking about how we're all introverts. I think, you know, maybe the key element of, like, if you're an artist wanting to learn about business things, you really need to learn how other people think to get out of your head, introverted head. So you're, as a creator, you're making things for yourself. But the fundamental element of business, I'm a blogger and a graphic designer, so communication is like where my bag is. Figuring out how people perceive me and how to present what I do in a way that they can understand is a fundamental thing.
Right.
To be able to, when you're doing your website, when you're making your materials, when you're doing the networking. And the networking, so people get to know who you are and what you do in terms that they can understand.
Right.
And that's very rarely taught anywhere, I think.
Right.
And then the business stuff, that's stuff you can pick up from accounting books and so forth. Yeah, but really, I think for introverts, it's hard just to get out there and say, hi, I'm this, and I do this.
And I do this, so, and I charge this much. I mean, I think that's
And it's worth this much. Yeah, so
that's the hard part.
That stuff. That was just my comment. But
yeah.
Very good.
Right on.
Good. All right, so how can people find you online?
Okay, so they can go to my website, which is www.janebuttonphotography.com. Jane Button Photography on Facebook, Jane Button Photography on Instagram.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Very good.
Guess that wraps it up.
Thank you for doing this, Jane.
Thanks.
So that's going to do it for this week. Until next week, I'm photographer Sid Caesar.
I'm designer Dave Say, and this is
Jane Button.
And we'll see everybody later. Thank you, Jane.
Thank you. See ya.
Music provided by Michael Bellar and the Azaz Ensemble. You can visit him online at michaelbellar.com. Give him your love.
Yeah.
And the music plays.
So you edit out.
He's got a super tight system. Yeah. He's totally got it right.
That was fun.
That wasn't too bad. Have a good week, everybody.
Bye.